Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
And people are angry. COVID's still here. Biden was elected to bring things back to normal, and things aren't normal. That's as simple as that. And so they connect that to the president.
Right, and that's what I mean about feelings over facts. It's completely understandable that people go with those feelings, even if the facts show us a rebounding economy. If people don't feel it and see it themselves, they don't give anybody credit for it.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I wouldn't be giving the tax cuts to the billionaires that this bill does. The corporate welfare in this bill, if you earn $500,000 a year and buy an $80,000 electric vehicle, you can get like a $76,000 or $12,000 credit. What? My middle class person can't afford a used car is paying for a tax credit for someone who makes $500,000 a year?
Yep.
We Republicans wouldn't agree to that. Yet now we're being asked to increase the debt limit to pay for it. That's not a fair deal.
Well, some Republicans would agree with that.
Mayor Jerry, I don't want to get you in trouble out in Fresno, California.
Hey, Hillary's back in the news. What's she up to? It's not a Super Tuesday. That's tomorrow. She said Americans... Okay, are you ready for this? Here's what Hillary... Think about your life right now. Ready? She says that you don't appreciate Joe Biden's accomplishments. Well, looky there. Yeah, she was on MSN LGBT saying that we don't appreciate what she described as his accomplishments. She said, democracy is messy. Yeah, but a constitutional republic actually helps the economy there, old Hillary. She said people got kind of frustrated looking at the messy process of legislation. They didn't really appreciate that within a year, the Biden administration has passed two major pieces of legislation through both the House and the Senate. Well, okay. I needed some 2.0 reader glasses, so I stopped in at the $1.25 store. Yeah, they got to change the name. They got much that's going to cost them, right? The dollar store? They're not the dollar store anymore. No longer the dollar store. Hillary, that's the stuff that matters. He passed two important pieces of legislation. Yeah, but the dollar store is now the $1.25 store. It's the economy, stupid. Don't you remember? Don't you remember? It was your own James Carville back in the 90s that said that with Clinton's wins. It's the economy, stupid. Biden's 30-year high inflation has caused the Dollar Tree to raise prices by 25%. 35 years, we called it the old dollar store. Those were the days when everyday products were just a dollar. Now they're $1.25. Why is this happening? When Joe's president, merchandise costs are going to increase. That's Agent Squire's worst song every time. Sometimes I'll play Cher there when Joe's president and kind of test some audio over it before the show, and he closes his ears in the other room over there. I know what not to get him for Christmas. But the merchandise cost increases. Well, yeah, that's what's going on. When you got supply chain problems, you're going to have merchandise cost increases. Hello? 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 Come on, man. Going up a whole dollar with my cheese, my grated cheese, up a buck. $1.25 store, get some readers. But it's all going to be cured, right? Well, what's the cure? This is seriously what they're telling us.
We need to get vaccinated.
Then it's all cured. Well, that... whole vaccinated thing will probably be a moot point in a few days. Omicron. Oh, yeah. Watch. That'll be about probably 5 days. We'll hear that everybody's back at zero. Right? I mean, because I said when you get on the roller coaster, when you take one and two and consider a booster, then you're going to be getting contacts from whoever you signed and you're officially in the system of, you know, it's kind of like the DMV. Hey, it's time for your registration again. But you can't write a check or pay by pay online with your debit card or something. This is a vaccine you got to go get. That will be so. I think probably in a few days we'll be back to everybody will be back to zero on this. So then, boy, I guess that vaccine will probably be a moot point. Inflation soaring, by you know, businesses still struggling to hire people. You know, Biden's poll numbers are in free fall, and the White House says it's all COVID's fault. Of course, you do realize 15 years from now, right, you can be applying to buy yourself a something new, right? Your credit, and they'll be like, well, I see right here, you can be like, well, that was COVID. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Right. Everything can be forgiven. You know, either blame COVID or blame Trump. Here is a small snippet of economic propaganda from the Associated Press at the Fresno BS decided to run. It said Biden's team views the pandemic as the root cause of both the nation's inflation and his own political woes. Okay, they write, it sees getting more people vaccinated and finally controlling COVID. Oh, that's it, finally controlling it, as a key to reviving the country in Biden's own standing. This is the AP and the Fresno Bee. Now, ready? This is a doozy. This really is. They said, somebody typed this. Although the economy has actually been coming back. Really? Give me an example. Please, back up your stellar reporting. Show me how the economy has actually been coming back. Well, it hasn't, but they can write whatever they want. They said in the administration's view, the minority that's resisting vaccination is spoiling the recovery for the rest of the country. Boy, that's some heavy weight to take, right? If you're unvaccinated, I mean, you got to carry that burden around with you that you are the reason that the rest of the country, nothing to do with Biden's policies, nothing to do with Biden's total change on our petroleum and oil, right? Now we're bowing down to OPEC. Please, please, can you send us more? But no, that's it. It's the people that are resisting vaccination. You know, it's you. You're the problem. We're all the problem. They write here, Democrats say a turnaround may be within reach. So they bring on a party strategist. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Ferguson. From Trump to Biden, people have gone from feeling like it's mourning again in America, mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, like very sad. It's mourning again in America, to feeling on the cusp of mourning again in America, like the sun's coming up, mourning. Boy, I tell you what.
We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
Well, he added, getting past the pandemic unlocks the door for the economy, for our way of life, and for people feeling less divided. Well, how about stop dividing us, saying that here in Fresno County, probably the majority, or I don't know where our latest are, maybe it's over 50% right now, but a lot of people, almost half, are unvaccinated. So I guess those are the ones that can carry on this divide, right, because it's our fault. The energy secretary, I mean, you want to talk about an awkward moment. You know, she was out talking about, you know, what's been going on, how gas is going up and how they're actually going to release. What is it they were going to release? 50 million barrels of oil, right? Well, that's the way that you do it, as we've seen here. And that's our strategic reserve. And Trump actually had that strategic reserve for a reason. And when he actually put it into place and filled it up when gas was cheap, he took a lot of flack, took a whole lot of flack from people out there, as we figured out here. But Secretary Granholm being talked about right here about didn't even know how many barrels of oil the United States uses in a year. I mean, as Secretary of Energy, you would think that's like the top five things that you would need to know, right?
Some suggest it's about 18 million, which would suggest you're releasing less than 3 days' worth of supply from the petroleum reserve. Why is that enough?
Well, what we are doing, plus what other countries may be doing, which will be less than what we're doing because we have the largest amount of strategic petroleum reserves.
She doesn't know what she's talking about. Listen to him ask her here. How many barrels of oil we have a day? And she didn't know.
How many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me.
Wow. This is who we're supposed to be listening to. She doesn't have that number in front of her. How much oil do we need? I don't know. I didn't get that information. But the amount that we're giving is awesome. You're the Secretary of Energy. This is the Biden administration. This is the poster girl for the Biden administration right here, right? And the poster boy for the Biden administration is another Secretary of Transportation. Oh, yeah, his big push when he's not washing out bottles, taking 60 days off from the gig, right, is that roads are racist. I guess that's a winning bid. You can replace Biden in 2024, President Peter Buttigieg?
It sounds like supporters of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg see an opportunity with an aging president struggling in the polls. Minnesota Republican Congressman Tom Emmer told Fox the Buttigieg buzz should be sounding alarms at the White House.
He can run again in 2024 if that's what he wants to do, but he's going to lose. And it's not a good sign. It's never a good sign when members of your own party are literally talking about who's going to replace you, and you haven't even been in the job for a full year yet.
Yeah, that's even scarier to me. What, are you going to be the mayor of South Bend, Indiana? Then you're going to be running the, what used to be the strongest nation in the world, right? You know, our refilling of the oil reserves that our Secretary of Energy can't even tell us how many barrels of oil. I mean, it was deer in a headlight look, and she just rambled on. She didn't even know what she's talking about. Neither does Kamala Harris. Here's what Kamala back in 2020, she said, it is absolutely unacceptable that Trump is prioritizing bailing out big oil companies. Weirdly, while dragging his feet to support millions of unemployed people, workers, small businesses, and state and local governments. So this was back during the campaigning in 2020 when President Trump actually filled up our oil reserves. That's what Kamala Harris tweeted out, right? And now Joe Biden's doing it, going in and tapping into it, right? Trump refilled the oil reserves when prices were three times less than the price right now, according to AAA, the Biden and Harris administration. Oh, excuse me, the Harris-Biden administration. They're going to drain the reserves, I guess, right? Biden said, I'm announcing largest ever release in the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to help provide the supply we need as we recover from this pandemic. Wouldn't it be embarrassing the first year when you took over, America was energy independent, man? We didn't owe a drop of oil to anybody. We did it all. We were actually exporting more than we had in history. We were rolling, man. It's called rolling. Oh, that's capitalism, and that's the opposite of socialism and Marxism, so they had to put a stop to that. But wouldn't it be embarrassing that, about 10 months in, that you are having to, like, go to the savings account? It'd be like if you hired an accountant and you were rich. And 10 months in, you're like broke and you got to go to your savings. Would you say that's a good accountant? No. They issued a report Friday to increase the price of oil leasing fees on federal lands by 50%. So they're even trying to stop people from going out and drilling while turning around and accusing those same oil companies of artificially increasing prices, right? So that they would have somebody to blame for the high cost of oil. These people are sick, man. They're twisted. They are twisted. They're recommending Congress hike the cost of oil leases from 12% to 18%. And they're they're begging OPEC to increase oil supplies. But wait, wouldn't that be bad for the Earth's atmosphere? Doesn't it float around the world and come back to us in that thing called the jet stream? Yeah, they requested the Federal Trade Commission conduct an investigation into oil companies for anti-competitive behavior. Now, we need to do an investigation into you for anti-competitive behavior. You're competing with the U.S. economy. We already know that. And there's some Republicans to blame for it, right along with the Democrats, with the stimulus package. You are fighting against businesses. You're fighting against the economy. You were fighting against the economy the day that you took office, the day that Joe Biden's crack sat down in that Oval Office mandating the temporary ban on the Keystone Pipeline, did all of that right out the chute. Now he's mandating a temporary ban on oil leases. 13 states have sued him to overturn the order. See, there's $192 million that Shell and BP and Chevron and Exxon have in their hand. They're going, hey, give us the rights to drill in the Gulf of Mexico. You know what? If we could do that, then we wouldn't have to go into our bank account. See, we're telling that real stupid accountant that broke us and we're poor now and we're having to go into our savings account. We're telling him, wait, we don't need to go into the savings account. There's a job over here I could go get and I could start making money, right? And your accountant be like, nah, that's not a good idea. Just keep taking from your savings. You'll be fine. That's what they're having to do now. Cancel the Keystone Pipeline. Actually thinking about canceling the Michigan pipeline. And to top it all off, the cherry on the top, he rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. So here he is raiding the Strategic Petroleum Reserve just to lower gas prices. And it's only going to be 3 days worth of American driving. Hey, looky here. Canada, they've had to tap into their strategic reserve. And it's not oil. And it's kind of funny, and I'll tell you next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Tomorrow on the show, 3 o'clock, Fresno County DA Lisa Smigkamp on the smash and grabs, man, and how Fresno's handling a little different than the Bay Area. And sad news today, happy for somebody that is moving up the success ladder. Fresno State football coach Kalen DeBoer going to go be a Washington Husky. Just announced today by Fresno State. While we are saddened to see Coach DeBoer leave Fresno State, we're grateful for his service to our university and our community over the past 2 years. We're going to be talking to Fresno State the voice of Fresno State Athletics, Paul Loeffler, here in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. And looking ahead here, now just in the interim here, the running back coach, Coach Lee Marks, has been named the interim coach for any bowl action here that Fresno State will be headed to as well. So we'll talk more about that in a few minutes right here. A judge halted Biden's vaccine mandate in 10 states today. Yeah, that. Remember I said Joe Biden's vaccine mandate doesn't exist. It's just a press release. It was just a press conference as everybody was rushing about to jump in line. Well, now this Missouri-based U.S. district judge appointed by former President Trump issued the injunction. You know, because any employee that worked at anywhere that Medicare and Medicaid certified facility. Now, here's the states affected by this. North, South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, New Hampshire, Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, Alaska, and Arkansas. So under this mandate, healthcare workers that worked at hospitals or nursing homes or any facility that got federal funding, you had to be vaccinated by January 4th. And the judge said in his opinion, he laid out the ways in which the mandate is unlawful. Said did not follow Supreme Court precedent in issuing the mandate because it did not first seek the approval of Congress to enact such a wide-reaching rule. Yeah, and the same thing applies to California. Newsom, he didn't go to the legislature. They didn't vote on it. Right? No. See, they're representative of we the people. We govern ourselves with our representatives. But this has all been flipped upside down. Now, I was talking about the petroleum strategic reserves here in the United States, and I said Canada is actually tapping into their strategic reserves. The Quebec maple syrup producers announced they're pulling 50 million pounds of syrup from their strategic reserve. New York Post says a group known as the world's maple syrup cartel, sometimes compared to OPEC, announced they're pulling 50 million pounds of syrup. That's the most they've released in a single season since 2008, and it amounts to about half of the entire stockpile. So what happened was during the lockdown in Canada, they thought probably you could get COVID by being out in the forest and tapping the trees, you know, outside, right? I'm sure they didn't allow that to happen. That was non-essential. Now it's catching up with them. Oh, it's so sad without maple syrup. It is amazing stuff, right? But it's so expensive. I mean, you really got to like your waffles and pancakes to come out the pocket for maple syrup. But up in Canada, well, it's good for putting other, like baking and all that stuff. It is totally If you got the extra $15 for the ounce of it, or I don't know how much it costs. I mean, it's worth it. Now I'm craving pancakes. See, look at this. Look what I did. Right now, I made somebody think in their head, they're like, I didn't know what I was going to make for dinner tonight. He got me going with the waffles and the pancakes, right? I don't know how you're feeling out there, but boy, that was the rumors that got, you know, rumors around, you know, that Coach DeBoer's going to Washington. I thought, well, maybe we'll know in a day or two. No, we actually knew in an hour or two. Came down quick. Good year, though. Good year. We'll talk to the voice of Fresno State Athletics, Mr. Paul Leffler, on the departure. Fresno State football coach DeBoer next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Well, if you have SAD, I was just reading today about seasonal affective disorder. This time of the year, people get SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. If you're a Fresno State football fan, you got to be quite sad. And I'd like to welcome to the show the voice of Fresno State Athletics, Paul Leffler. Paul, welcome, sir.
Hey, thanks, Trevor. Yeah, it is. It's a bittersweet thing, isn't it? Because, yes, the Bulldogs have had a great coach move on. But you're happy for him because he really embraced his community. He did everything the right way. I mean, he's a genuine, sincere guy who's been first class in everything he's done as the coach. And, you know, we wish him well in the future. And the buzz is building already for the possibility of Jeff Tedford coming back, I think, has this community pretty excited, too. So I don't know if that's the way it's going to go down and unfold, but the people that have been blowing my phone up today are pretty pumped about that possibility.
Well, you just heard it there, possibility, Jeff Tedford coming back. Paul, what is the it kind of ballpark me average stay for a successful college coach that might move up to a bigger school? Was this pretty early to be snatched out with the season last year kind of being a throwaway because of COVID? Do they a lot of times get judged off one season?
Well, I think what it is, Trevor, is timing, right? And we all know in whatever industry we're in that timing is a big factor in whatever happens. And right now, there just happen to be a lot of openings in college football at some of those high-profile schools. So the market is hopping. And when people are out there looking for a guy who's had a sustained track record of success and multiple stops, who people say good things about, you know, the people that have been around him and know him, that goes a long way. And count Jeff Tedford in that mix because he's the guy who never knew Kalen DeBoer, but when he took the job here, looked around the country, said, hey, who's doing good things? Who's turned around a program that struggled and help them be successful? And Kalen was one of those guys. So he brought him here. He saw him firsthand. He recommended him to take over when Jeff had to step down. And I know he was a big advocate for him in this search as Washington looked for a head coach. You know, when they ask him, he has great things to say about him. So I think it is a little early for us. We would have liked to have him here for a long, long time. But I think one of the reasons he got hired in the first place was Terry Toomey and others said, hey, this guy is a rising star. He's a great football coach, and I think the Huskies recognize that too.
Yeah, I was reading here today, earlier on in DeBoer's career at the NIIA level, he was 67-3 up in Sioux Falls. Now, I don't care what level you're playing at, to go 67-3, that really says a lot.
And that was in 5 years, Trevor. Think about that. 67 wins in 5 years. That's almost 14 wins a year. I mean, that means you're going to the national championship every year, and he just about did. He won 3 national championships, and one of those losses was in a national championship game at Sioux Falls. And he had nothing else to prove. And that's the point where he said, you know what? I think I can do this at a higher level. So he humbled himself. He said, I'm not going to be a head coach anymore. If I want to be a head coach at the ultimate level, I've got to be an assistant first. And he went to the FCS level, then bumped up to the FBS, went from Eastern Michigan to Fresno and on to Indiana and back here as a first-time head coach. And everywhere he's gone, he's taken another step forward, and he's proved his true colors. And I really hope young coaches pay attention to the way he did it and the way he carried himself. It's never been about him. He's not an ego guy. When he says servant leadership, he means it. And he selected assistant coaches who have a similar philosophy. And he really made, you know, a sincere, genuine relationship with his players a priority. And I think that's what played out on the field. And one thing, I don't want to ramble here, Trevor, but one thing I think that gets lost in this shuffle, people say, oh, they noticed him because he went 9-3 and he beat UCLA this year. I think the job he did last year when the record was 3-3 is equally as impressive as what he did this year, because he had to deal with a COVID situation that literally no other head coach in America had to deal with. And he was never rattled by it. And to me, that showed his qualifications as much as anything that happened this year.
Now, what did Coach DeBoer have to deal with that others didn't? Was it a lot of the positive tests and contact tracing? I mean, the other teams in California had the same rules, right? Was it worse for Fresno State and I'm just forgetting about it?
It actually was. And I don't say that to pile on, but Fresno State had less practice time than any other program in America. And that held true for the baseball program last year and really the men's basketball team, too. But with football, they didn't have the time in the off season that other programs had, even San Diego State and San Jose State in their own conference. Yet, when they had the chance to play, they jumped at the chance, they went all in, and they were having a really successful season. They were 3-1 until they did have a COVID pause. And really, it was contact tracing more than positive tests that kind of derailed that season last year. But it wasn't the record so much as how he handled it. It was as if every week, something more was being thrown at him, another curveball, another burden, and none of it rattled him. None of it got him emotionally snowballing or panicking. He was a steady Eddie all the way through, and I think his leadership last year really prepared him for the big season the Dogs had this year.
That's steady Freddy. You grew up saying okay. Eddie, I always said Freddie. Maybe it was a different side of the Mississippi River thing, right? But he was a steady Freddie Eddie. He sure was. Now, Coach DeBoer, all public knowledge, he was paid $1.35 million and his contract topped out in 2024 at $1.5 million. Now, when you're a head coach at like a Washington Huskies, are we talking double that? I mean, what kind of money is that elevate up to? You know, I know you don't know all the details, but what's the ballpark?
I haven't heard a total figure yet, but I would expect it to be in the ballpark of triple that, Trevor. And that's just the reality of where college football is now. That's why it was hard for him to pass up. You know, he's still a young guy. He's got a wife and two daughters who are still in school. One's in high school, one's in elementary. And, you know, they've got a very exciting future. But that said, you know, the job security at a place like that is not quite as deep as it might have been here either. So people expect results right away, and I think that's why it was a pretty safe hire for Washington, because there's never been a spot where he struggled. There's never been a spot where he failed. He's found a way to get it done everywhere he's been, and with the resources that can be brought to bear up there in the Pac-12, I'd expect nothing less with him wearing purple and gold. And he's going to keep saying Dogs, but they do the AW thing up there instead of the D-O-G-S.
Oh, okay, so different. Well, what we've seen right here happen is they put a whole lot more money. I was reading the Bee had something where they put $34 million into their program and Fresno State spent $13 million in the program. So it definitely is a different level right there. And I want to ask you this. I was talking to somebody last week about the, what's it called, where they get paid the name with the players.
Name, image, and likeness?
Yes, the name, image, and likeness. And the individual I was talking to on the phone said they didn't think it was a good idea, and I asked them why, and they went on kind of off on a rant about they don't, you know, too much money goes to college sports. And I knew you'd be a good guy to ask. What college sports generates a ton of money, more than anything at the university, I would assume, correct?
Well, yeah, on an annual basis, I think it does. I mean, you have other one-time gifts here and there, but absolutely it does. And I think the reason people have been excited about name, image, likeness is the knock on college sports has been, you know, the coaches get paid big bucks, but the players aren't getting paid. And, you know, the value of an education, how do you put a price on that? You know, they try to, but, you know, in reality now the players have a chance to monetize you know, their name, image, and likeness with local businesses, and there are plenty of ground rules about it, and I think that's going to continue to evolve. But the coaching salaries in recent years have really skyrocketed, and the real reason for that, you know, when you cited the discrepancy between what Washington spends on football and what Fresno State spends, the difference there is television money. You know, those power conferences have a TV contract that enables each one of those schools to have that kind of money to spend on a sport like football. And that's what has really widened the gap in college sports, not just football, but all of them, because those power schools are getting huge dollars every year from TV contracts.
Am I remembering, didn't Harbaugh go from the NFL back to college as a head coach?
He did, and he had a huge win this weekend over Ohio State, yeah.
Now, when it comes to money, are there a lot of college guys that somehow make more money than a lot of NFL coaches?
That is definitely possible. Yeah. And well, the Michigan State head coach, Mel Tucker, just signed a 10-year deal worth $95 million, Trevor. $95 million for a college football coach.
This is the ESPN needs to go back and redo their 150-year special. Have you caught any of that on college football? I know you're busy, but if you get any downtime, have you got a chance to catch any of that?
I have, and yeah, that's the thing, you know, with things are only current until they're obsolete, and at the rate things are going in the entire sports world, not just college, there are some things that are just blowing people's minds. But with that news today, I think, you know, for a Bulldog fan, yes, it's bittersweet because you're excited for Coach DeBoer and his family, but you're also wondering what's next at Fresno State, and this is where, you know, Terry Toomey as the athletic director has all eyes on him. Does he go back to the past with Jeff Tedford with a clean bill of health and a guy who's proven he can win championships here, who will excite the fan base and help him fundraise for stadium renovations? Does he have somebody else who he thinks can be the next Kalen DeBoer and the next big thing? And I think we're going to get that answer sooner than later, but it's going to be a fun one to talk about here for a few days.
Former coach Jeff Tedford, why not? Is there any reason why not? You said clean bill of health. And he would probably still be there if that hadn't happened a few years ago, correct?
Yeah, I think that's the implication. He would still be there, and who knows? The Dogs might have another championship by now. He's only 60 years old, and it was purely health reasons that took him out of the picture. And now, you know, he's feeling a lot better. He's had his heart situation rectified, and, you know, he's a grandpa now. He's established. He's kept a home here in the community. He spends some time on the coast. But a lot of times, Trevor, when those coaches get away from the game, as we hear on our broadcast with Pat Hill, you know, and we get to do that one more time for a bowl game, the football juices don't stop flowing. And to see Jeff Tedford have a chance to help his alma mater out again and lead the Bulldogs to more championships, I know would create a lot of feel good in this community. It's just a question of whether the leadership of the university believes that's the right next step. Maybe they've already had some other plans out there. I don't know. But I do know that Coach Tedford is interested, and you know, I think the best thing about that possibility is it would be a seamless transition. He recruited a lot of the young men who are in the program now, including the quarterback Jake Haner. And if you want to make sure Jake sticks around for one more year in a Bulldog uniform, bringing back Jeff Tedford would probably be your best bet.
I hadn't even thought about the other fallout ramifications, you know, with players and the dynamic and the relationships. Good that that relationship is there with Haynard and Tedford. The bowl games, do we know anything yet? Is it just a pick a bowl out of a hat kind of thing? How does that all get determined?
It seems that way sometimes. What will happen, Trevor, is this coming Saturday, the Mountain West Championship game will be played, a game the Bulldogs would have been in if Boise State would have taken care of business and beaten San Diego State the other day, but the Broncos let the Dogs down. And San Diego State will play Utah State Saturday. But really, until that game happens, you won't see too many other dominoes fall in the bowl picture, and certainly not for the Bulldogs. But there are some exciting possibilities. There's still a chance they could play in that inaugural Jimmy Kimmel Bowl down in L.A. at SoFi Stadium. There's a bowl in Arizona, a bowl in Texas, and then the familiar ones to Bulldog fans like New Mexico and Hawaii and the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. But I think we might see the Dogs end up in a bowl they haven't played in before. And the Bulldogs did say today, the athletic department said that Lee Marks, who's their running backs coach and their lead recruiter, that he will be the interim head coach for the bowl game whenever and wherever that is.
Now, his background, is his name in the running if he's the guy that they put in there for the bowl game, or is that, you think, truly an interim title?
I think it's an interim deal. He hasn't been a coordinator. By passing over the coordinators for that spot, I think it's an indication that they may be joining Kalen in Seattle, which would be good. I think William Inge and Ryan Grubb have both done a great job, and Kalen trusts them.
Hadn't even thought
Lee
of that,
Marks
pulling coaches.
Coach. Yeah, yeah. And
now,
and
is there anything Lee in contract? I'm sorry to interrupt, but is there anything in contract that says when a head coach goes, you know, you got to wait a few years before you start plucking people from the team?
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Unfortunately, no. And the hard thing that no one ever talks about here, Trevor, is when there's a head coaching change, all of a sudden all those assistants are without a job. So they're now on the job market, and either the head coach is going to take them with him. One of the things I respect most about Pat Hill, when he finished his time here, he was more worried about those assistants and making sure they had a job somewhere than his own situation. And I think Kalen will be the same way. I think he'll take great care to make sure everybody on his current staff has a job, whether it's with whoever succeeds him here, with him at Washington or somewhere else. But there's a little bit of horse trading that goes on in those situations. And speaking of horse trading, Lee Marks played at Boise State. So we now have a former Bronco who will be coaching the Bulldogs in the bowl game. And some dog fans may feel a little conflicted about that. But I've checked. Lee Marks has no orange or blue left in his wardrobe. So I think we're safe.
We're safe on that one. Well, any head coach worth their salt will say it's not a solo job, and that's those assistant coaches. But boy, I thought maybe there was more stability in coaching. You know, when you have the head coach, as you're explaining, Paul, that, you know, when he goes, his coaches, I never thought of it that way. I thought they had their own individual contracts, you know, but I guess we're realizing it's not a lot of stability. But man, if you hit it right, $3 million plus a year, get it right, get it.
Well, and that's the bottom line. And for Washington, it was get a proven winner, and they did that in Kalen DeBoer. And I hope Kalen has a chance to really address the community. He's been great in the community. One thing that probably doesn't get enough attention: he made it a real priority, even during COVID, and now here quasi post COVID, to get his players out in the community, not just to say hi to people and sign autographs, but to do real community service. I mean, they're out there cleaning up streets, picking up trash, painting curbs, and doing so with enthusiasm, because they understand they wouldn't have the opportunities they have without the community behind them. And that's the same kind of stuff he'll do at Washington. And I hope whoever does take over at Fresno State continues that. I mean, they've been a huge partner of that Beautify Fresno campaign. And, you know, that's something that has value beyond that day and that time. It inspires other people to do the same. And that's how Kalen's wired. And I think that's a great precedent and example to set for anybody who follows them at Fresno State.
And you're bringing up a great point, Paul, because you hear a lot of athletes years later say, it was that coach that made me into a man. And it's not always on the field. Like you say, it's getting out and doing things in the community with enthusiasm. And it's a whole different side to coaching. And I guess that's what makes him so valuable, on the field and off the field.
That's it. What Washington did was they hired the best person for the job. You know, it wasn't just about coaching. It was about how he's going to represent the university and lead young men. And you hear that a lot. It's kind of one of those buzzwords in coaching. But I think if you're a genuine person yourself, I think you can see when that is really, you know, there's some depth to it. It's not just a hollow, resonating feel that's on the outside but isn't true on the inside. I heard a pastor illustrate this recently. He talked about being an Oreo cookie, where it's not just what's on the outside, but there better be something in between and in the middle. And I think that's who Kalen is. From his head to his toes, he's a man of integrity. He's a man who's sincere and genuine in everything he does. And I hope he comes back to this community. Maybe he'll even bring the Huskies back to play the Bulldogs someday. How fun would that be?
Well, now he's thinking, isn't he? He's the voice of Fresno State Athletics, Paul Leffler. Paul, we'll talk again in a few weeks, and we'll talk basketball, all right, because that's the season now.
Fair enough, and I'm sure there'll be some folks who want to talk about the next coach when that happens and have ideas of who it should be. That'll be the hot topic in town for a while.
Well, we'll be talking about it. Thank you. Paul Leffler, voice of Fresno State Athletics, Coach DeBoer, going to Washington. Thank you for your insight, sir.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. on the Valley's Power Talk.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Omicron.
A new COVID strain is raising alarms around the world. The Omicron variant, first discovered in southern Africa, has now spread across Europe to Australia and Hong Kong. Global markets plunged when the news broke. Countries are imposing new travel bans, the most restrictive in Israel, which has closed its borders to all foreigners for 2 weeks. Here in the U.S., New York's governor has already declared a state of emergency. The big questions now, how dangerous is this new variant? Will it evade our defenses?
What a good way to not have to deal with the economy, right? Send everybody back into a lockdown, right? They're starting to feel that the pendulum is swinging back to the side of the American workers. The push is on, and now they're going to, well, we've talked about this. They'll keep bringing out more variants, and my prediction is all the vaccination status that everybody has on your QR code on your phone, everybody will be back to zero. Everybody will be looked at as unvaccinated. Watch. A judge halted Biden's federal vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in 10 states today. That's good news. New York Times columnist David Brooks stated we shouldn't look at case numbers to analyze the variant and predicted, I don't think we're ever going to go back to where we were in March of 2020. Well, maybe he was listening to old Governor Face Mask Gagging Gruesome, right?
When this pandemic ends.
Tell us.
And it will end soon.
No, it won't.
We're not going to go back to normal.
Well, I believe you on that part. You know, we've seen right here, even this New York Times columnist, David Brooks, says, I don't think we're ever going to go back to where we were in March of 2020. We won't if we stay docile. We won't if we stay under this delusion, man. It's a delusion. In this arbitrary world that we live in, Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. Why have I never heard of that automaker? They've agreed the United Auto Workers Union members will not be forced to take the vaccine as a condition of employment. See, the pendulum swinging back to the workers. We've seen this, so here they go. You got 600 Google employees challenging being forced to upload their status to a central database. Even 600 Googlers, right? They're like, come on, this isn't right. You got an ice cream company in Canada, the largest independent ice cream company. They're now going to pay $1 an hour pay raise if you're fully vaccinated. So they're going to give them, yeah. You got if you have your two doses, you'll get an increase of $1 an hour, right? Here's what's happening in our society. I mean, Canadian society, but hey, it wouldn't surprise me if it started in California as well. Pay some people more and others less based on their personal medical decisions. I told you you'd wish your 2020 back. You need to think very, very, very carefully about accepting the concept of a vaccine passport. Oh, you missed your Omicron number 4 booster? Sorry, citizen, your bank account's frozen until your compliance is restored. Please proceed to the nearest vaccination office as displayed conveniently on your cell phone. Vaccine passport, no, next.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.